The following audio recording contains the keynote lecture by Professor Dr. Cynthia Pizarro during the conference of the research unit, The Production and Reproduction of Social Inequalities, Global Contexts and Concepts of Labor Exploitation. The opening conference was held virtually on 11th and 12th November 2021.
Exactly. Thank you very much. So we welcome you back to the keynote lecture today of our opening conference. It is my great pleasure to you to introduce to you Cynthia Pizarro, who is a colleague I have known for quite a while now already, and we have been working together earlier on other topics already, but I'm very happy that she is part of our board of external advisors and accepted to give the keynote for this, our opening conference today. Cynthia Pizarro is a professor of sociology and anthropology at the School of Agriculture at the University of Buenos Aires. She has a PhD in anthropology from the University of Buenos Aires, and she also works as a researcher at National Scientific and Technical Research Council. At the heart of Cynthia's research are questions about the construction of identity and territory, and she has worked on a wide array of topics, including labor migration in Latin America, indigenous peoples in Argentina, rural anthropology, but also environmental conflict. Cynthia has published widely on these subjects, both in Spanish and in English. Her most recent books include two edited volumes. One of them has the title, We Have Created the Delta, Inhabiting, Foresting, and Conserving a Wetland, and was published in 2019. A second special edited volume with the title Ruralities, Economic Activities, and Labor Market in the Delta Next to the Metropolitan Area of Buenos Aires was published in 2018. Her book, Bolivian Labor Immigrants Experience in Argentina, was published in 2016 with Lexington Press. Throughout Cynthia's work, the topic of social inequalities has resurfaced in many guises. Her primary interest is with migrants as actors and how they cope with exploitative structures in the capitalist system. In this vein, she has engaged with the questions of how different groups experience and live with social and economic inequalities and why they stay in these positions and what kind of resistance is possible and practiced. In this presentation, Cynthia will build on her extensive work on labor migration in Latin America and also on her recent inquiry into the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on labor migrants in Latin America, specifically in Argentina. So this keynote will address a number of themes that guide the research unit and that will also resurface in the context of the different panels of this conference. So with this very short introduction, I would like to hand over to Cynthia for her presentation, which has the title, The Impact of the COVID-19 Pandemic on Labor Migrants, Accentuation of Inequalities. Thank you very much. And I please would like to remind you, if you have questions for Cynthia to ask for her keynote, you could either type them in the chat or you could, after her presentation, raise your hand, or you could, you know, ask, you can basically use all kinds of ways of how to ask your questions. But if you know you like to use the chat so that you don't forget them, please do so. Thanks a lot. They will be read then by the student assistants in, when you type them in the chat.
Okay, thank you, Micaela. I will share my screen. Okay, this is okay for you. Can you see it?
It is still in the, it's not yet in the presentation modus. Would you like to change that?
Is it okay now?
Yeah, it's now, it's perfect.
Okay, so good afternoon. For me, it's good morning. But it's a very nice morning here, so I'm pleased to be with you. It's a pleasure to share with you the opening conference of the unit, The Production and Reproduction of the Social Inequalities. And I would like to thank Micaela for inviting me to this exciting unit and the different projects. It's really an honor for me. As Micaela said, I will speak about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on labor migrants, accentuation of inequalities, focusing on the Americas. The onset of COVID-19 brought along the closure of national borders, virtual elimination of air passenger travel, and a variety of lockdowns and quarantine policies at different scales. In Latin America, such measures have varied and evolved along with the development of the pandemic. Lockdowns implied the closure of all activities in person, except those considered essential. For instance, mandatory lockdowns have been adopted in Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, and Peru, and optional lockdowns in Venezuela and Uruguay. Bolivia, Chile, Ecuador, and Peru also have adopted curfews by time slots. As regards the entry of foreign nationals, countries have increasingly put bans that vary from limiting the access to people of certain nationalities to others that place bans on all arrivals. Different intersecting regimes of mobility were created in which some people's movements are normalized while others are criminalized. The pandemic has produced an exacerbation of existing social inequalities and has also given rise to new ones. This is so, especially in the case of Latin American migrants population. Migrants in the Americas have sustained the largest impact of COVID-19 on their daily lives, scoring higher than any other region in the world, demonstrating that the virus is far from democratic and that social and economic conditions determine the influence of the virus has on people. Since the beginning of COVID-19 pandemic, Latin America and the Caribbean have been some of the most impacted regions worldwide. As it can be seen in the figure, Brazil scored an increase of 7% in deaths between June 2021 and August 2021. Cumulative cases in Latin America in June 2021 were 19% of all infections worldwide, while the region population was 8.14% of the total worldwide. Currently, most national governments in the region have initiated COVID-19 vaccination campaigns. Although there have been some successful efforts, the speed at which immunizations occur remains widely insufficient. Latin America's socioeconomic recovery from the pandemic crisis is lagging compared to the rest of the world, and the economy is not expected to return to its pre-pandemic levels until 2024. In 2020, the international immigrant stock in the Americas was 7%, 2.5% in South America, 1.3% in Central America, 15.9% in North America, and 3.7% in the Caribbean. There are around 40 million Latin American migrants in the world. 11.9 million are living in the region because of the increasing migration restrictions adopted in the global north. Intra-regional migration has grown at a faster rate than migration to more developed countries. Additionally, there is a growing dynamism in the arrival of new extra-regional groups from Africa and Asia. Without denying the relevance of the USA retains as a host country for intra-regional migration, the emergence of new corridors and the increase of old ones can be observed within Latin America in the 21st century. These new corridors of intra-regional migrations, together with the old ones between neighboring countries, like in the Argentinian case, show features of involuntariness and forced mobility. People have not stopped moving during the pandemic, increasing their precarious conditions and their exposure to various dangers. The reasons for these displacements are socioeconomic crisis, social violence, insecurity, collapse of public services, and the sense of helplessness and hopelessness in the immediate future. This is especially the case of Haiti, Venezuela, and Honduras. The new flows move along the following corridors. From Haiti to Honduras, El Salvador to Mexico and the USA, from Haiti to Brazil, to Argentina and to Chile, from Venezuela to Colombia, the Andean countries, Brazil and Argentina, and from Venezuela to Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico and the USA. The main argument in this conference is that border closings and confinement have exacerbated the precarious and vulnerable conditions experienced by many migrants in the region. Very high rates of informality and job insecurity, lack of livelihoods, precarious living conditions, and overcrowding, many obstacles and difficulties to access regularization, limited access to health and social assistance, exposure to discrimination and xenophobia, and human trafficking. Government responses to the crisis have deepened these inequalities. As a result, labor migrants are at risk of becoming infected and of being discriminated against and excluded on the basis of the various stigmatizations that emerge in the context of the pandemic. I will speak about the risks and the experiences that migrants face during the migration cycle, in origin, in transit, in the destination countries, and during the return. The closure of international and sometimes domestic borders makes family reunification difficult. There has been a considerable reduction in income from remittances. Temporal labor migrants cannot fulfill their tasks in their domestic units. Structural inequalities of families and communities of origin are getting deeper, and the standard of living is collapsing in many peasant and indigenous areas due to the pandemic. The closure and militarization of borders forces migrants to risk the danger of taking clandestine routes and unauthorized crossing points in a scenario of high exposure to robbery hastes, gender violence, migrant smuggling, and human trafficking. People with an irregular migration status were heavily persecuted during the pandemic. Irregular migrants often move in caravans. Due to their irregular condition, they cannot access the health services or other kinds of social assistance, and they are forced to stay in border control centers. Some are trapped in the middle of the journey and find themselves stranded in a city on their way to their destination, and others are stopped at the border of the destination country. Some cities became an obstacle. For example, Necloche in Colombia, which is near the border with Panama, is one of the last points before crossing the extremely dangerous forest El Leiden on the way north. Another conflictive city is Iquique in Chile, where many undocumented Venezuelans have arrived coming from the Colchane region and camped near the main square. In last October, their presence gave rise to hate discourses and vandalism of native people who attacked migrants and burnt their belongings. Another problematic city among others is Tapachula in South Mexico, where Central Americans, Haitians, and Venezuelans are stopped on their way to the USA and to Mexico. Migrants on the move to the USA may get trapped in the Colombian, Panamanian, or Mexican borders. Those who can arrive at the Mexico-USA border are deported. Migrations to the USA have increased during the pandemic. When migrants in transit are immobilized, they are frequently exposed to overcrowding because border centers lack adequate housing, increasing their risk of contagions. They are at a higher risk because they lack access to social assistance. They suffer psychologically because they have a notion of permanent transience, and social migration networks and ONGs assistance are not enough to help compatriots during the travel. Besides, the COVID-19 has caused a paralysis of border economies, which results in fewer possibilities of migrants stranded in the area to find a job. The pandemic has set radical processes of impoverishment of migrant populations previously affected by unstable work. Labor migrants are affected in a disproportionate way because they are concentrated in the worst hit sectors by the pandemic and its economic consequence, characterized by low productivity, high informality, and limited access to social assistance. These workers do not have the possibility to work at home or to accomplish social distance. They may suffer the loss of their work, the deterioration of working conditions, or the reduction of their incomes. Some migrants play. Oh, sorry. Some migrants play an important role in the response to COVID-19 by working in critical sectors called essential works, such as food production and service, delivery trucks drivers, healthcare, special care services, grocery store clerks, among others. These are particularly low-paid jobs in which exposure to the COVID-19 is high. In July 2020, 70% of the labor migrants in Argentina had suffered the loss of their livelihoods, 58% totally and 14% partially. This had a greater impact on women and on recently arrived migrants. Migrants fear more losing their jobs and not being able to eat than getting infected with COVID-19. According to a Spanish survey, in July 2020, 43% of Venezuelan migrants in different countries had lost their jobs, and only 24% said that they had incomes. Desperation induced some of them to perform highly dangerous works, for example, in funeral labor, collecting bodies of the victims of COVID-19 in hospitals, private homes, and even on public roads. The pandemic has affected regularization processes, generating problems in the administrative situation of migrants. The closure of government and consular offices represented a great obstacle. Confinement has paralyzed, delayed, or suspended the ongoing proceedings of migrants' regularization and the processing of asylum claims, such as resident permits, visas, among others. The pandemic exacerbates the risks of migration irregularity because it limits or prevents the access of migrant populations to health and social assistance, including the specific social assistances granted during the pandemic. It increases the risk of sexist and institutional violence. It encourages labor exploitation and discrimination. It hinders access to decent housing and education. It is a permanent threat of arrest and or expulsion, and it restricts freedom of movement. Many non-citizens, especially those who have an irregular migrant condition and their families, were left out of the pandemic relief funds in Argentina. The government creating an emergency family fund for autonomous and informal workers. It was the only economic resource for many families that had lost their livelihood because of the pandemic. Irregular and recently arrived migrants could not access this social assistance because the program requires migrants to accredit legal residence in the country for not less than 2 years. And to have an Argentine ID. In 2020, nearly 80% of the migrants couldn't access this benefit because they couldn't register or because it was denied. The pandemic has exacerbated pre-existing xenophobic feelings against migrants for threatening natives' access to work and being responsible for the increase of insecurity. Another element was added, the perverse identification of migrant populations with the contagion. Closing down borders speeches and anti-migration policies spread in many parts of the world, associating migrants with diseases and accusing them to be unwilling to abide the rules of the health authority or not understanding them. Stigma may drive migrants to hide the illness and prevent them from seeking health care immediately. A significant part of the migrant population has difficulties in accessing or maintaining decent housing. Overcrowded dormitories, houses and cramped camps, meager housing and unsanitary conditions are common for poorly paid workers and other migrants on the move. Bad conditions in informal settlements worsen migrants' social and housing conditions substantially. Under overcrowding conditions, it is more difficult to apply lockdown and physically distancing measures, which exposes migrants to situations of a greater possibility of infection. Recommended hygiene measures to prevent virus transmission are often impossible to comply as people do not have running water and other basic services. Migrants who pay for rental housing are facing several difficulties to keep up date, leading to evictions. Latin American governments must formulate responses to COVID-19 in context of austerity, with fragile economies and public health systems oversaturated and poorly funded. This has led to the exclusion of migrants from access to health and social assistance. Migrants may face obstacles in accessing healthcare, such as language and cultural barriers, lack of inclusive health policies, discriminatory behaviors from healthcare personnel, and the fear of getting arrested or deported by authorities. many migrants, especially those with irregular administrative status, are unable to access testing and other healthcare services, or they are anxious about doing so, given possible immigration consequences. For a long time during the pandemic, there was a closure of all educational institutions. Migrants often had fewer resources to assist children in the absence of formal in-person education and less ability to work remotely. Due in part to difficulties in accessing these digital tools, many migrants' families have been unable to keep up as school moved online. Confinement led to an overload of functions in women who not only have to carry out the pre-established domestic care tasks, but also assume the teaching of their children. The burden of unpaid domestic work assumed by women, adolescents, and girls, as well as cases of violence against them, have significantly increased. There was a growing militarization of borders, restrictions on access to territories, and protection procedures in the region. Various states authorized the participation of the armed force, military police, or state security bodies in order to prevent the entry, exit, and the transit of people. In many cases, migrants have taken extraordinary actions to warrant their livelihoods, such as massive returns, many of them on foot, to their countries of origin, or re-immigration strategies to other countries. The region saw a significant increase in contingents of stranded migrants following sudden border closures that interrupted migration flows. With the preventive closure of official borders, migrants are using clandestine crossings and irregular routes, posing greater risks to their lives. They are exposed to dangerous situations such as trafficking, smuggling, gender violence, and other forms of violence, exploitation, and abuse. Even when there were repatriation processes coordinated by the states, this scarcely satisfied the demand. There were cases in which stranded migrants had to pass the night in insecure places waiting for return. Sorry. For example, hundreds of Paraguayans that tried to return to their country at the end of April 2020 spent several days stuck in a bridge of 550 meters that connects their country with Brazil, without masks and in precarious sanitary conditions. The same health exposure was faced by Venezuelans trapped in a bridge that connects Venezuela with Colombia, because the Venezuelan government established very reduced daily quotas of returnees and criminalized migrants for the transmission of the COVID-19, calling them bioterrorists or biological weapons. Some countries are partially opening the borders to allow the entry of nationals and residents. To do this, health controls are implemented at the border, and returnees are required to comply with a mandatory 14-day quarantine period in isolated centers located in border areas. But these centers are sometimes far from healthy and often overcrowded and with poor access to testing and treatment, leaving returnees susceptible to COVID-19. What about future perspectives? We have seen that mobility has continued in immobility despite restrictions and borders closure and the consequences of the pandemic. Inequalities were accentuated, such as lack of work, lack of healthcare, and healthcare and other social assistance, discrimination, irregular migration status. There has been a surrogate mobility. Labor migrants move at great risk so that other people can remain immobile and safe. And they wanted to pose two questions to think about what's happening with migrants and COVID and what will happen in the future. Will migrants continue unsafe practices that lead to smuggling, trafficking, and exploitation? Will governments seize the opportunity to institutionalize policies such as militarization and border closures? Well, these are my questions. I think it's good to think about them. And thank you all for being there listening to my presentation.